Third John. For those of you that are new this evening, we have been honoring the King James Bible this year. You notice a plaque behind me. Every year we take a different theme. This year we just put the King James Bible up here. It's the 400th anniversary of this miracle book, the Word of God. No other book even comes close to its printing in any language, on any subject, over 5 billion with a B. Copies of the King James Bible have been printed in the last 400 years. No book on any subject in any language comes even close. It is the Word of God for us English-speaking people. And then the English has been translated into over 780 other languages, King James Bible, for the benefit of those who don't speak English. And all of us, just the fabric of our society has been influenced by the King James Bible. Our founding documents, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, were influenced by the King James Bible. And we thank God for it. We're honoring the Bible in different ways. We had a big display in the float last week. We gave out over 2,000 copies of two books from it, John and Romans. Thank you for those that helped. We've been memorizing verses and saying memory verses on Sunday nights, Wednesday nights. We didn't do it tonight for time's sake. We had some other special things tonight. You saw people saying verses this morning. And then another way we've been trying, we did some special printing. We did a copy of the replica of the original 1611 John, Gospel of John, and also our 1769 edition, which most of us use now with the printing and the Roman type and the spelling changes and so on and so forth. That's all. But and what do we do those for, Kaylee? What was the purpose for those? What we made a whole bunch of them for Anniversary Sunday. Yeah, we gave them all out on Anniversary Sunday. That was it. Good. And then one thing I'm trying to do every Sunday night, I'm preaching, which is not every Sunday night. We have missionaries and stuff, but I'm trying to take a great chapter. There's 1,189 chapters in the King James Bible, so I may touch on 50 of them or 45 this year. So they're all great, but there's some that just kind of stick out. Lately, we've been talking a little bit about men and future development of our men's ministries and how important it is to reach men, to mentor men, to disciple men. I'm currently doing some investigating into how we can go deeper into that subject and mentor men and teens and boys and men from the community. Man, I meet so many. I got so many needs, and I think I've crossed paths with an idea that we can implement maybe in our church that will really help us mentor men, disciple men. I know that's on Pastor Seth's heart. And I know some of you do that. You're investing, you're picking up teens, you're picking up boys, you're bringing them to church, you're loving them, you're taking them camping, that kind of thing. And that's all important. There's this little book called 3 John that's especially a tremendous book for men to study. And as we look at it tonight, it's only one chapter long. As we look at it tonight, we're introduced to three different men. Some of you are familiar with these men, and this will be a review for you. Some of it will be brand new. You talk about how men can be so radically different in the same church. This little book brings it out. I want to study this chapter tonight and introduce ourselves to three men, Gaius, Diotrephes, and Demetrius. And this was written by the Apostle John to Gaius. And I want you to notice in verse 1 it says, "The elder," that's John, "unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth." Boy, this morning we talked about self-love, how damaging self-love is, the peril of self-love. I'm glad John, the beloved disciple, the disciple whom Jesus loved, the master, the doctor of the subject of love, John, he loved men. We need to love men. Men need to love men in a scriptural, biblical way and minister to them. And John did that, and this was one of his. Notice, the elder under the well-beloved Gaius. Now, there's Gaius appears in several books of the Bible. I personally don't think this is the Gaius who was such a blessing to the Apostle Paul about 30 years earlier. Maybe he was. Maybe this guy was an old guy here. Maybe it was the same Gaius. I don't know, but who cares? It doesn't matter, those questions. Anyway, but there was a great man named Gaius who was such a blessing to the Apostle Paul in his ministry 30 years earlier. John outlived Paul and Peter. They both died around 67 A.D. John lived up to about 100 A.D., so he lived some good 33 more years. But he had a friend in his life named Gaius. And he talks about Gaius in verses 1 through 8. And I want to show you just some things about Gaius here and how John loved him. We're going to see tonight in verse 1 that Gaius was loved in the truth. Number 2, Gaius was testified in the truth in verse 3. Gaius walked in the truth in verses 3 and 4. And Gaius was a fellow helper to the truth in verse number 8. And he thus is a role model for us men. We ought to follow the example of Gaius. Our life should be about truth. And living for the truth and preaching the truth. Truth is Christ in a person. Truth is the Bible in a book. Truth is the Holy Ghost in a spirit. Those are the three definitions of truth in the Bible, if you'll study the subject of truth out. And Gaius was a man whom John loved. And we men need to get to where, as we said this morning, we do an about-face away from self-love, and we turn towards loving God and loving others, and we ought to love men. Men ought to love men. Turn to the book of Titus. Keep your place here. Titus chapter number 1 and verses 7 and 8. Now, I know this is referring to elders, and certainly John was an elder, but every one of us men, even you boys, ought to someday have a vision for your life to be an elder in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, John or Paul one time wrote to the church at Galatians, and he talked about James, and he talked about John, and he talked about Cephas, and he said, whom I perceive to be pillars in the church. Pillars in the church. Isn't that a great title? And when Paul wrote that, that was about 30-some years after Christ had left earth and gone back to heaven. And those three men that he particularly trained, Peter, James, and John, those three men were still called, 30 years after Christ trained them, pillars in the church. And that is the value of mentoring men, so that when we're gone, we can leave behind us some boys who will be pillars in the church in our place. And we need to be pillars, to produce pillars in the church. And we need to do that by being a lover of men. Notice Titus 1 and verses 7 and 8. It says, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. See, those that are elders, and that's not just Pastor Seth and I. That's a lot of you men that have walked with the Lord for a long time, and you're not novices anymore, and you're apt to teach, and you're servants in the church. We need to be lovers of good men, lovers of good men. John was a lover. He was a lover of good men. And I know we got to just kind of take this perverted, unseemly love the world talks about and get it out of our minds and have this biblical pattern. It says an elder must be a lover of good men. Now with that in mind, go back to verse 1 and it says this, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. I love you, Gaius. That's what John's saying. Now, what does it mean to love somebody in the truth? It means that you are concerned, first of all, for their physical needs, and you're concerned, second of all, for their spiritual needs. Not necessarily that importance, that order. But notice verse 2. Beloved, he's talking to beloved Gaius, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul prospereth. Notice how John had a love for Gaius that went at least into two realms. He says, I'm concerned about you physically. I hope that you are prospering in your health. And we ought to pray one for another in their health. We've seen God answer prayer for the health of people. Jesus is the healer. I was talking to somebody this morning after church about how they'd come to know Christ as their Savior recently here in the church. And I said, praise God for that. I'm so glad for you. And then the question came up and said, yeah, but how do I deal with all the abuse I've been through? And I said, I want you to know that Jesus is not only a Savior, He is a healer. And He can heal the brokenhearted. And man, they just got some hope on their face. The Lord can help them through that. I shared a little of my testimony in our dysfunctional home I grew up in. I said, Jesus set me free from all that. Jesus got me over that. Those of you that have grown up in homes where you've never had to overcome abuse, you ought to thank God for the home you grew up in. You ought to thank Him every day. And I know some of the things I went through were preparatory so I could help people like this and tell them Christ is not only a Savior, He's a healer. But He can heal our broken spirit. He can heal a broken heart. He can heal our bodies. And John's love for Gaius was concerned not only about the physical realm. He says, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. But I want you to notice also, he says, even as thy soul prospereth. The soul is the spiritual part of our being. That was the greatest concern John had for his friend Gaius. I want you to prosper spiritually, Gaius. I want you to prosper in your soul. And this is how you love men. You care about their physical well-being. It may be this is also speaking about the financial and the material also when it says, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. All right? We need to love them about their financial, material maybe. I think that may be implied in this verse. The physical realm and the spiritual, even as thy soul prospereth. Man, once in a while, we just need to walk up to another man and say, how you doing spiritually? How you doing, brother? How you doing spiritually? And some good, humble brothers will say, you know, I'm a little bit down lately. I've been getting away from God. And you can encourage them back. You can show them the love. This is how we know we love others when we're concerned for their material being, their financial, their health, but especially even as thy soul prospers. Verse 3, for I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee. I want you to notice, first of all, Gaius was loved in the truth by John. And second of all, Gaius was testified in the truth by the brethren. People were talking about him. And they were saying good things. They were saying good things. What do people say about us when they talk about us? I hope they say good things. I hope they say he's a good man. She's a good woman. She loves the Lord. She's a woman of the Word. He's a man of the Word. See, the brethren had testified of Gaius that he was in the truth. He was in the truth. He was testified of in the truth. And then I want you to notice, third of all, Gaius walked in the truth. Both verse 3 and 4 tell us that. He said, even as thou walkest in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. It appears that Gaius, by verse 4, had been a convert of the Apostle John, so that's probably why he's a different Gaius than the other guy. in Paul's epistles. He seems to have been a convert of the Apostle John. And just as we heard these Amazing Grace missionaries testify tonight that sometimes they'll lead someone to Christ and a year later, 2 years later, they'll come back and say, "You led me to Christ and I led my brother to the Lord. I led my sister." You heard them tonight. They rejoice that they're still walking in the truth. And I believe that's the experience we ought to have as believers, where we bear fruit, as our Lord described it, that remains. Fruit that remains. And we have a man here named Gaius, who the brethren testified he was in the truth, that he walked in the truth. And we have no greater joy than to hear that our children walk in truth. And that's a good thing for parents too, isn't it, right? I know the Ravers over here, they just had their last son married last Saturday, and now he's hitched. And now they are empty nesters, man. They're all married and gone. And but their kids are walking in the truth. That's a joy to them. I know they sorrow because of the distance between them and their kids, and that has to be difficult. I can't imagine that, but it may happen to me someday. I don't know. If it does, I'll come see you and see how do you do this. But they rejoice in the truth. But you know, we can have kids in Christ as we lead them to the Lord, and we can see some of them walk in the truth. Some of them walk in the truth. I remember, he's not my kid. I never led him to the Lord, but I remember a pastor one time giving me a call back in 1985. And he said, "I heard you're going out to pastor school in Hammond, Indiana for the pastor's conference." And I said, "Yeah, I am." He says, "Listen, I got this young man in our church who wants to go. Could he tag along with you?" And I said, "I guess." I said, "How old is he?" He said, 13. I said, "Man, alive." I'm thinking, I don't want to take a kid out to Hammond, 13-year-old kid out to Hammond, Indiana. That's a lot of responsibility and everything. But for some reason, I agreed to it, and his name was Craig Cobb. And that year, he surrendered his life to the Lord to be a preacher. And he's been down here at Old Time Baptist Church for 21 years, preaching the word. Did a great job the other night. Had teens get saved. Amen. And other decisions. And I just had a tiny little part in that. And I'm so just so glad that we can do things that can affect others so that they can walk in the truth. And then he was also a fellow helper to the truth. Look at verse 8. He said, "We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth." Now, the verses previous, which we'll read in a moment, shows how Gaius would help others on their journey. And we have a wonderful picture in these verses 5 through 8 of how missionaries back then, 2,000 years ago, did the same thing they're doing today. In going around to churches, getting support, and how we help them on their journey, and how we're fellow helpers to the truth when we receive these missionaries, when we love them, when we house them, when we feed them, when we give them a big love offering, when we take them on for support. If you'll look carefully in verses 5 through 8, they did the same thing 1,900 years ago. Look at verse 5. "Beloved," now again, he's still talking to Gaius. "Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to thy brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church." We talked about that a little bit this morning, charity. How it's the opposite of self-love. "Whom, if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well." This is a good thing. "Because that for his name's sake," for Christ's name's sake, "they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles." Now the word apostles means to be sent or to be sent forth. And the synonym word we use today is called missionaries. taking nothing of the Gentiles, where we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. And notice that was the practice of Gaius. He received them in verse 5. He was faithful to brethren, to strangers, and some of these people are strangers coming through here. We've never met them before in our life. But they come through, they share their burden, we say, we're going to get behind you, and we make friends with them. And some of these friendships have lasted a long lifetime with some of these missionaries. They're not strangers anymore. They're brethren, brothers in Christ, sisters in Christ, and they go forward on their journey. In fact, I was just, Pastor Seth, I was just reading this week, and I'm going to lift those five words out of verse 6, where it says, bring forward on their journey. Bring forward on their journey. And that's going to be the theme of our missions conference in a couple months. Bring forward on their journey. Now, they're on a journey. They're on an adventure. They're going forward by faith for God, for His name's sake. They went forth. For Jesus' sake, they went forth. And we can help bring them forth on their journey. Another, some other year, if the Lord tarries, I want to use the end of verse 8, fellow helpers to the truth, as a model for another missions conference. And that's what we are. We're fellow helpers to the truth. So what a guy Gaius is. He loved the truth. He was loved in the truth. He was testified in the truth. He walked in the truth. He was a fellow helper to the truth. The word truth is found 6 times in this little book. It's the theme of the book is the propagation of truth. And again, truth is a person, Jesus Christ. Truth is a book, the Bible. And truth is a spirit, the Holy Ghost. Those are the 3 biblical definitions of truth. We ought to love men. We ought to love these kind of men. And we ought to encourage them as in 8 verses, John encourages Gaius. It's almost impossible to believe. But all of a sudden, the book totally flips completely at verse 9. And you have in the same church a man so radically different that you wouldn't believe it unless you read it, that a man could be this evil in his church. His name is Diotrephes. Let's look at Diotrephes number 2 tonight. Verse 9, John says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Can you imagine that? I can't. Can you imagine if we had a big day here at Faith Bible in Eden? And I said, we got a guest coming next week. The Apostle John is coming to our church. Can you imagine that? Man, I don't know if you'd be here. I would. I'd be here. I mean, I'm dying. I've studied this guy. I've studied John probably as much as any of the disciples because I'm in a pursuit for love in my life that I'm far away from, but it's just something. As I said this morning, if you want to get a doctor's degree in anything, it should be the subject of love. And John was the guy who got the doctor's degree. I don't know if it's inspired or not. I really don't. I just be honest with you. I don't know if it's inspired or not, but you go to the original 1611 and to the book of Revelation. And it says the revelation of St. John the Divine. The revelation of St. John the Divine at the top of the book. You'll find that in the original 1611 edition. The divine. Peter said we should be partakers of the divine nature, all of us. And God is love. And man, I'll tell you what, I would love to meet this guy. Can you imagine living at the same time this guy was alive and having the chance to meet him? And then saying, I don't want him here. That's what Diotrephes did. Receiveth us not. Can you imagine being John, being rejected by a man in his day and age. Man, oh man, if I saw John, I don't know where I'd start. I said, John, I would love to meet him. Tell me, John, how did you go from being one of the sons of thunder to the disciple whom Jesus loves so quickly? How'd that happen? What was it like, John, when you were mending your nets with your dad, Zebedee, and Jesus said, come follow me, and you left your father, and you followed Christ? What did your dad say? What did your mom say? What was that like? What was that like so often when he took you aside as a special project, Peter, James, and John? And John, what was that like when you went up on the Mount of Transfiguration and right in front of your eyes, you saw Christ transfigured. And you saw Moses. You saw Elijah. You saw that with your own eyes. What was that like, John, when Jesus left the other eight behind and told you three to come with him in Gethsemane, and you went a little farther? And Jesus went another stone's throw, and you could hear him groaning and praying those three times. Coming back. And seeing the blood running down his forehead because he prayed so hard. He sweat great drops of blood. What was that like being in Gethsemane, John? What was that like being in Pilate's court where you were the only disciple who went in? And you saw the mock trial of Jesus Christ. What was that like? What was that like, John, when you were the only disciple we know of for a fact who stood there and watched the crucifixion of Christ and stood next to Mary? What was that like? What was that like in that upper room as you quaked with fear and Jesus walked in and said, fear not, peace be still. You saw the resurrected Christ. What was that like when the ladies came back from the tomb and you outran Peter that day? And you stooped down and looked into the tomb and when you saw the napkin folded up and the cloth separate, and when you saw, you believed. What was that like? I don't know about you, but I'd love to talk to that guy. The Bible tells us there was a man in his day that didn't even want to talk to him. Didn't even want to let him in his own church. Received him not. I talked this morning on the subject of the peril of self-love. The peril of self-love. What a horrible thing self-love is. And this guy Diotrephes was so evil. Verse 11 says he was evil. That he loved to have the preeminence. And the only time I'll ever you see the word preeminence in the Bible besides this verse is in Colossians 1:18 when it speaks of our blessed Lord and says that in all things he should have the preeminence. And Diotrephes said, I want Christ's place in this church. And these missionaries that came through, he forbid them. Look how evil he was, verse 10. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words. Now, we need to define terms. Always define and dissect Scripture. Don't just read on until you know something. Prating. The word prating here means to utter nonsense about, to bring forward idle accusations, to make empty charges, to accuse falsely. Everything Diotrephes said about John was wrong. It was a lie. He made it up. But he not only prated against him, notice he did it with malice and maliciousness. Is when you get to the place where you want to physically harm somebody because your pride and anger has gotten so out of control. Can you imagine that? Towards John. Boy, pride will destroy a man. Pride destroyed this Diotrephes. Made him angry. made them malicious. Proverbs 10, verse 8, and Proverbs 10, verse 10, it says, a prating fool shall fall. That word fall means to be thrown down completely. God will deal with such a person. This is strange, especially for those of us who love the Lord. I remember one time for several years where I resorted to putting a baseball bat in my office because there was a certain man who attended this church that scared me so much in his personal anger at me. I was physically afraid of him. I put a baseball bat in my office. You know, I've just seen that man's pride just absolutely destroy himself. I pity him now. I just pity him. He's just been destroyed by his own proud mind. I haven't seen him in years and years and years and years and years. I believe God saved me from him and took him out of the way. And he just has just disintegrated, degenerated. Remember what pride did to Nebuchadnezzar? It's turned him into an animal, eating grass. It's a horrible thing. And we see this man full of self-love and full of pride and not content therewith. He was never content with anything. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren. Notice that he doesn't receive the brethren. He doesn't receive us, verse 9. He doesn't receive the brethren. These missionaries that were coming through, it says he forbid them. I don't know if he was in some type of office in this church. Somehow he had done some place seeking, or maybe he was humble when he got into office, but like Saul, lost his mind, because sometimes power is the and leadership roles are the worst thing you can give to some people. Just wrecks them. But he forbid them that would. These brethren who were supposed to receive, he forbid them, and notice this, and casteth them out of the church. Can you imagine that? Missionaries, brethren, strangers on their sojourning who Gaius was helping to bring forward on their journey, this guy was casting them out of the church. This guy was forbidding them to come into the church. Why? Because it was about him. The church was about him. I've seen pastors who thought the church was about them, and they ended up just destroying the church. I've seen churches literally closed down. I mean, doors shut and locked. Because a pastor thought it was about him. It had to be his way. Brethren, we should not be. It says in verse 11, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. Follow Gaius, in other words, he's saying, don't follow Diotrephes. He that doeth good is of God. He that doeth evil hath not seen God. Now, Diotrephes may have been saved. Pride is a horrible thing. But he had never gotten a vision of what God's like. Because when you get a vision of what God is like, that is, as it says here, if you've seen God, one of the things you know, God is love. And Christ not only receives brethren and receives strangers, but Christ was accused of receiving sinners. And when you have the love of God in you, you receive everybody and do what you can to love them. And with it comes a great reward. You and I need to be like Gaius, who receive people. That means to accept people. Because with it comes great reward. Jesus said this, he that receiveth you, Matthew 10:40, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. As I've always said, I don't know what that means, but it means something. He that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. See, heaven's full of rewards. Jesus said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. And some ways that we can earn rewards are spelled out here. If you receive any Christian Accept them, love them, strangers, brethren. You're receiving Christ. And if you're receiving Christ, you're receiving God. A prophet, a preacher comes along. Don't go home in your car and say, I didn't like him as much as I like so-and-so. No, keep your mouth shut. Say, praise God for the preacher. Receive the prophets. Receive the righteous men. We had three righteous men give testimonies tonight. Receive them. Find place in your heart for them. And then little children. You receive a prophet's reward, a righteous man's reward, a disciple's reward. I don't know what they are, but God's pretty good at rewarding. Well, we need to close. This poor guy had not seen God. Maybe he had gotten saved, but he had never maybe gotten in the Word and got the vision of what God's like. Because God wants us to love others and receive others. Last of all, Demetrius, verse 12, hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and you know that our record is true. We don't know much about Demetrius, but we know that he had a good report of all men. That means he was an excellent testimony. And not only was he a good testimony, but also of the truth itself. He had no error. He was as straight as an arrow. His doctrine was right. His practice was right. His spirit was right. His demeanor was right. Demetrius. So there you have it. And there's a benediction in verses 13 and 14. Tonight, we have a chapter that lays out to us men, three different types of men. Two good men, one bad man. All seem to be in the same church if I'm reading it right. And we are to follow those that are good. You know, the evil ones are going to try to recruit you. They are. They just do that. They try to recruit others, the bad mouth people and so on and so forth. I'm glad we don't have a big problem with that in this church that I know of. But evil people try recruiting others. They don't like somebody, and they got to tell somebody else about that, and got to start some gossip, start some little brush fires here and there, and so on and so forth. Just stay away from those people. Where no wood is, the fire goes out, amen? And just stay away from them. Hang around with those that love the brethren. Hang around with those that love good men. And I want to encourage us men tonight, maybe just to come around this altar in a moment here and just pray, God, help me to love men. Whatever this direction pastor is being led in about training us a little bit better for mentoring and discipleship. And it's going to be more mentoring than discipleship, which just means involving ourselves in the next generation and caring for them and doing things with them. And maybe we're going to have some more meetings, and they're not going to be lectures. They're going to be more sharing biblical things. I'm studying it out now, but I believe God's leading in this direction. And this is a great, great book, 3 John, for biblical manhood. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this evening, the great time we've had. We pray now you'd bless. Lord, give us a band of men whose hearts God has touched. And Lord, help us to, like Jesus, train Peter, James, and John so 30 years after we leave, they can be pillars in the church. And then John, 30 years later, was still ministering to Gaius and Demetrius and telling the church, follow these good men. Follow these good men in exposing the evil. Lord, if any of us are becoming like Diotrephes, where we think we should have the preeminence, we're becoming place seekers, humble us, we pray. Don't let us become like that. Lord, we've seen and heard of churches closing down, missions closing down, missions boards closing down because somebody got the big head, thought it was all about them, and Lord, great is the fall of some of these men. Lord, help us to ever follow that which is good, not which is evil. In Jesus' name, amen.